Tom Baker. Law and Gospel on this September the 5th in the year of our Lord 2012. It's a Wednesday, and today is Insight Wednesday. That's what we try and do on Wednesdays, give you some insights. And I'll tell you, don't want to brag about this, but this is a program you will want to have taped. So I'll give you a moment if you're at home to set up a tape of it. You can also get it as an archive if you have a computer, hopefully tomorrow. But I'm going to be doing something that I've been working on quite a long time. If you listened to Issues Etc. yesterday, I gave a little smattering of it. It's preparing to do Sunday school lesson, Bible study, and for pastors, sermon. It's a three-part analysis, and we'll get right into that. And while some of you are taking some time to get your tape recorders on, if you're going to do that, I want to tell you what a bad day I've had today. I mean, a really bad day. It started off with waking up during a nightmare. These are the kind of nightmares I have. I had a meeting I was supposed to be at, and when I remembered it, I was already late, and I went to try and use my cell phone, and my cell phone wouldn't work. I went into the office of the building I was in, tried to use their regular phone, and nobody knew how to dial out. Then there was a necessity of taking my wife's car to get gas at $3.45, when most gas stations are at $3.79. So I drove about 5 miles out of my way to get the gas and got there, and it was $3.69. I talked to the gentleman, and I said, according to the computer, it's supposed to be $3.45. And your sign says 343. He says, oh yeah, you pump it, and then they send the money to your home. Well, I never heard of that, so I just kind of took off. And of course, since I didn't have my regular car and had my wife's car, I forgot all my KFUO material. Plus, I was supposed to bring a sheet to give to one of the ladies here. I forgot that. I forgot my pen. Luckily, they have pens here. I went downstairs to work on the computer at KFUO, and the computer screen was not operating. So, though I was able to get yesterday's program taped, I was unable to do tomorrow's promo. And then on top of all of this, Mark Smith calls me and says he can't make it to Ruminations tomorrow. Boy, what is that? 8 items that were really quite negative. And yet, I feel pretty good. And why? Well, I'm able to walk around, I'm able to talk, and I'm on KFUO, worldwide KFUO. So without further ado, let me give you one more little item to think about. If you want to see me live, I'm going to be at Hope High Ridge. That's Hope Lutheran Church in High Ridge, tonight at 7 o'clock. In fact, I'll be there the next 3 Wednesdays also doing a Bible study on Law and Gospel. How do you get to Hope High Ridge? Well, you go to 270 and go west on Gravois. That's a big exit in South St. Louis. You go 5 miles until you see a QT gas station. Turn left, go up the hill just a little bit, and then turn right, go 1 mile, and there's Hope High Ridge. So 270, turn west to the QT about 5 miles, turn left up the hill and right 1 mile, and you'll be at Hope High Ridge. 7 o'clock, and we're opening it up to the public. Okay, you may have had the opportunity to listen to me yesterday on Issues Etc. at 4:15 to 5 o'clock when we did the Sunday school lesson involving the 12 spies that went to Canaan. I'm not going to go over that because you can get it. First of all, you can go to the archives of Issues Etc. and find it. But Concordia Publishing House has also put it up on their website at cph.org and then / and then Teachers Pot or Teacher Spot. Not sure which way they pronounce that. Anyway, it's TEACHERSPOT. So cph.org/teacherspot. And then just go down where it says the word hear, click it, and you'll hear the entire 45 minutes of the Sunday school lesson. But I did something on issues, etc., I've never done before, and it's going to be part of a webinar series I'm going to be holding on the computer pretty soon. You'll be able to get information about that, where I'm going to be teaching individuals how to use law and gospel, say, in raising their children and maybe doing a Sunday school class and a Bible study and for pastors' sermons and such. There's three parts, and I call them exegesis, Emmaus, and application. Exegesis is the first part. That's interpretation. And we use the strategy of Scripture interprets Scripture. The second part is Emmaus. Now, what do I mean by Emmaus? Well, I consider that the greatest Bible study ever held in the Bible, first of all, it had to be done by Jesus. And second of all, it probably had to happen after the resurrection. Because prior to the resurrection, much was in parables, making it difficult to understand. But if you go to Luke chapter 24, you will find that Jesus ends up walking with two of the disciples to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And he is talking to them. Verse 27 indicates what he's talking about. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, you need to remember that in those days, the scriptures were only the Old Testament books, because the New Testament books hadn't even been started to have been written. We believe one of the first writings was by the Apostle Paul, one of his epistles. But later on came the Gospels by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and scholars still disagree the order in which they were written, but that's not a big deal right now. What did Jesus do? He took the Old Testament, and he showed where he was. Now, let's take a real obvious case, and that's found in Exodus chapter 3, when God appears in a burning bush to Moses. But you see, he's referred to as the angel of the Lord. And yet, when you see his attributes, he is God. We believe, teach, and confess that that is none other than Jesus himself in his pre-incarnate state, which means prior to having been conceived by the Virgin Mary and the Holy Spirit. This is really, really important that Jesus appears many times. Pastor Peter Krausky has a book, The Angel of Angels, available at lawgospel.com. And almost 70 times it appears that Jesus is the angel of the Lord. And there are a few times, and he could have been, we're just not sure. It could have been Gabriel or Michael, but they're not named. So that's the second part of a Bible study, or let's say a Sunday school lesson. The third part now is application. And the principle to use there is law and gospel. Now, I believe that a layman can be led through those three parts by a pastor, and therefore could be able to teach a Sunday school lesson to children. But as I indicated on the issues, etc., yesterday, I always met with my Sunday school teachers in order to give them these three parts. In those days, I didn't call them those three parts, but that's what we're talking about. So let's kind of examine each one, and let's take a text, one I used yesterday, but I'll use it again because it's pretty simple. The lost sheep. Shepherd goes out to find a lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, carries it home. And of course, the meaning of that is, this is how people are saved. I can't tell you how the exegesis, which is the interpretation, boy, has been so misleading many a time. Because pastors, if they don't get the interpretation properly, they're definitely going to miss out on the application. And so many people think the interpretation is, this is a parable that God is encouraging you to go and find the lost. Now, the problem with all false teaching is there is always truth in it to some degree. I mean, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil, said the serpent to Eve. And she fell for the deception. Because there was a little truth in it, but that didn't mean she would be God. Here, this is the wrong interpretation. That Luke 15, the lost sheep, is encouraging you to go out and find the lost sheep. Instead, if you just take a careful look at it, you are not the good shepherd. The good shepherd is none other than Jesus himself. This is not a parable about evangelism. It is a parable about justification. How were you made right with God? What did you do? Well, the only part you did in your becoming right with God is you were lost. You didn't go seeking the shepherd. No, the shepherd came seeking you. You didn't see the shepherd and run up and jump up on his shoulders. No, he picked you up and put you on his shoulders. You didn't let him ride on you on the way home. No, he carried you the way home. You see, it's not wrong to say that Christians should be seeking the lost. But then you would go to a passage like Matthew 28, where Jesus gives the instructions as to how to find the lost. Number one, baptism. Number two, teaching them to observe all things what I have said to you. That's Matthew 28. So, word and sacrament is the way we bring people into the Holy Christian Church. You see, if you get the exegesis wrong, and all that is from two Greek words, gnosis, which kind of is to know, and ex, to know out of. In other words, you look at a passage and you take out of the passage the knowledge God wants you to have. Unfortunately, if you think the lost sheep is about us finding the lost, that means you're taking your knowledge and putting it into the text, and that's called eisegesis. And by the way, the word Jesus is not spelled J-E-S-U-S, it's J-E-S-I-S. So exegesis and eisegesis, these are the two ways that people look at the Bible. And if you don't use Scripture, interpret Scripture, which is the principle for proper interpretation, then you're in trouble. Now, I believe pastors can do interpretation because we're trained in the original languages, we've gone to the seminary, we've learned the culture. A lay person has to get the exegesis, the proper, the detailed, the insightful exegesis, either from some deep commentaries, which most lay people can't understand, because they'll not only have Greek and Hebrew in them, they'll have Latin, and when they say, well, this is an aorist, you're supposed to know what that means. And pastors do, but lay people don't. So this is why a pastor, before he allows someone to do a Bible study, should take them through the Bible study, in order that you're not going to be getting just a kind of a superficial lesson. Somebody asked me, why do you insist that lay people shouldn't be doing Bible studies? And I said, well, look, I was an orderly. That's where I met my wife, at Lutheran Hospital in Fort Wayne. And if you came in and you needed heart surgery and they said, well, the only person available is our orderly, Tom Baker, would you accept that? No. Then why do so many lay people accept other lay people teaching the Bible study who haven't been trained by the pastor to do so? Because you're not really sure what the Bible study is, and so you can be told. I dare say, if I went to even a lot of Lutherans and said, the lost sheep is, of course, how you too should be out there finding the lost for Jesus because of your love for them, they'd all nod their head in agreement. and not understand how wrong that interpretation is. Now, you notice I don't move from interpretation to application, because there's something still missing. And the best example I can give you where it's always missing is in the Prophecy Club. The Prophecy Club? Yeah, have you ever listened to those characters on television or on the radio? They're prophesying when the end of the world is going to come. And in my day, it was going to be Russia defeating Israel. Now it's China defeating Israel. And the next thing you know, it's going to be the Muslims defeating Israel. It changes from age to age, because the Prophecy Club really doesn't talk about Jesus Christ and the cross. I don't think I've ever heard that mentioned on the Prophecy Club. No, they're trying to get you ready for the end days. And they'll even write a bunch of books on it, you know, as though there's going to be some kind of rapture occurring. And people devour these books as though they're equal to the Word of God, when they're actually written by the devil himself, because they contradict the Bible all over the place. So what's missing in the Prophecy Club, the rapture, the millennialist kinds of interpretations? Well, we're going to say this a lot. I call it the Emmaus Road. And the principle I'm using is all theology is Christology. That means when you look at a text, there may be many Bible passages in the Scripture that have nothing at all to do with Christ when you look just at that specific text. My favorite one is Nimrod was a hunter. Okay, that's just a historical fact. But if you look in the entire context, you'll find Jesus there somewhere. And this is what I mean that all theology is Christology, and I borrowed that from a professor at Fort Wayne Seminary, Dr. David Scare. Until you find Christ in the text, then you really don't understand it, and you ought not be applying it. Well, let's go back to our lost sheep again. Luke 15. Where's Christ? He's the good shepherd. He's the one that goes and picks you up. Now, how do we know this is Jesus? Well, Scripture interprets Scripture. And the way you do that, you look at the original Greek language and see, is it repeated anywhere in a similar kind of context? Well, if you look at Luke chapter 15, and I'm talking about the parable here, you'll find that he says, when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Isn't that interesting? He's rejoicing. Rejoicing at what? He's got a big sheep to carry through the wilderness. How could you be rejoicing in that? Well, he's rejoicing. Why? Because he is going to be bringing the sheep back home. Similarly, the Scriptures speak of Jesus rejoicing. For the joy that was set before him, he went the way of the cross. He despised the shame. Wow. See, this is where you find Jesus, by Scripture interprets Scripture. And here's how I would put it. When you're looking at a text, any story in the Old Testament, like David and Bathsheba, or the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, or conquering the land of Canaan, or the 12 spies, or the bronze serpent, or anything at all in the Bible, here's the question to ask in the second part. If Jesus is on the road to Emmaus giving a Bible study, and he comes across that part, like the lost sheep, it says that all Scripture testifies of me. What is he going to say how that passage testifies of him? That's the question you ask. And until you find the answer, don't go any further in teaching the lesson, because you still haven't got it. There isn't anything in the Bible that was not written with Jesus in mind. And so until you find out where Jesus is, you aren't ready to do the application. You see, if you get the exegesis wrong, if you get the interpretation wrong, like the lost sheep is about us finding the lost sheep, then the application is going to be, and you too are supposed to go out and find the lost sheep, but don't worry about it because God will be with you everywhere. See, that's all true. It just has nothing to do with the parable of the lost sheep. Because the parable of the lost sheep isn't about evangelism. It's about justification and God's definition of repentance. Repentance, remember, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Repentance is being picked up by God and taken home. That's where the joy comes. The joy isn't at you being sorry for your sins, which is a consequence of repentance. No, the angels take joy at what Jesus does, not what you do. Don't put yourself in the center of the Bible. You are the reason everything happens in the Bible because of your sinful nature. So, to kind of summarize here, you can think of any passage at all in the Scripture. And sometimes you got to go maybe more than a few verses, sometimes a whole chapter. Like with David and Bathsheba, there's a lot of verses written about that. And Jesus finally comes up when David says, after hearing the parable from Nathan the prophet about a rich man that stole someone else's lamb to feed to his visitor, David said, when Nathan says, "Thou art the man," remember David's response, "I have sinned against the Lord." And then here comes Jesus. "Nathan, don't worry. Your sin is forgiven. You will not die." Where did that come from? It came because the repentance of David showed that he trusted in the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who would take care of his sins, that he would pay the punishment that David deserved to pay. Jesus is everywhere in the Bible, but he's not easy to find sometimes. And I'm sure on that road to Emmaus, the disciples, the reason that their heart leaped for joy is because they were hearing so many passages and the insights of them that they had never, ever thought about before. So, to kind of summarize, if you're preparing a Sunday school lesson, you need to have the right interpretation, the right exegesis. And the principle there is Scripture interprets Scripture. There are some fine commentaries that are being written and published by Concordia Publishing House. And they're very, very helpful. The next point is, okay, now you know what the passage, what God intended it to mean in that day. But now, where is Jesus? And that's where the Emmaus event has to take place. When Jesus reads that passage, say on the road to Emmaus, what would he have said about the passage that shows that he is the one that they need to look to? Finally, you get to application. And that is where you use law and gospel. So let's take the lost sheep with the proper exegesis, namely that Jesus finds you. The Christology is he is the good shepherd. You're the lost sheep. You know what the application is? When you think about how you came to salvation, you are to give all credit to Jesus because he did everything. He found you. Maybe he found you in the waters of infant baptism. Maybe he found you when you became a teenager or even an adult and you heard the word of God. As Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. It doesn't really matter how you came to faith, but you will definitely have come to faith through word or sacrament. And when I say the word, I mean Holy Scripture and specifically the gospel promises connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why every text is an entirely different teaching. because it's different law. It may be different gospel. Christology may appear differently. But by using these three steps, exegesis, Emmaus, and application, you then bring the purpose of the Bible. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, not only for every good work, but also for assurance of total salvation because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, obviously, we're going to say a lot more about exegesis, Emmaus, and application. But right now, we're at the end of our time. Tomorrow, we're looking forward, in place of Mark Smith, we're going to have David Pelsu and, of course, Peter Krausky. And if you'd like to send us an email or a phone call, the email is lawgospel@lawgospel.com. The phone number, 1-877-267-1962. Give us your question or comment. Till tomorrow then, Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.